Praise the Lord. I greet each one of you this morning in Jesus' precious name. I've got a lot to think about in what we've sang this morning and the lessons that we've heard. It's been a real blessing to be here already. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, we just ask you to help us be faithful to you. Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit, give us wisdom, Father. Help us to do your will. Lord, give us words to speak, Father. Again, we just want to thank you for your goodness to us and your mercy. In Jesus' name. Morning, I want to turn the Bible to First Samuel chapter 15. The song we sang a while ago. Far down the ages now, much of their journey done, the pilgrim church pursues her way until his crown, her crown be won. No wider is the gate, no broader is the way, no smoother is the ancient path that leads to life and day. No sweeter is the cup, nor less our lot of ill. 'Twas tribulation ages since, 'tis tribulation still. No slacker grows the fight, no feebler is the foe, no less the need of armor tried, of shield and spear and bow. Thus onward still we press, though evil through evil and through good, through pain and poverty and want, through peril and through blood. Still faithful to our God and to our captain true, we follow where he leads the way, the kingdom in our view. Last night even, people told us that Christ died 2,000 years ago and the Bible was written 2,000 years ago and Christ is changing now. That's a common thought and a common cry in the world that things have changed. It's not like it used to be. And in the world, that is exactly the case. But as far as the world goes, and as dark as the world gets, the light never changes, or the night, and it stays the same. Our battle with the world is not getting any easier. It's getting more difficult. And it will until Christ returns. It'll continue to get that way. We want to read here in 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we want to take some of this and apply that to the way God doesn't change in the way He deals with people and how human nature doesn't change. We want to look at that as we look through this portion of Scripture. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over the people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, and how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Sur, that is, over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and the oxen, and of the fatlings and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be a king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the flock and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said unto me this night. And he said, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil of the sheep and oxen, chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, and sacrificed unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. This morning, I want to talk about a couple of different things that are really clear that it is nothing much more than what Samuel did. God has given each one of us a lot in our life. And when we choose to follow Him, He lays a cross upon us, and we're to carry it. Too many times we see something good, or we see something better, or we see something we could offer more to the Lord, and what we do is step out of what He wants for us to try to improve on what He's given us. Instead of just simply being what He wants us to be, we create something that he will reject. When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. God has given us a place, a position, a duty, and a responsibility for each one of us. We each have our place in the family, in the church, and in everything that we're to do. We're a body. And that body works together. There's fingers, there's hands, there's feet, there's eyes, there's ears. And when everyone does their place and is in their place, it just works really nice. But when people begin to get out of their place, things go wrong in a hurry. Whenever we try to get our focus on something other than what God has for us, it gets turned upside down. We have the story of Mary and Martha in the Bible. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Martha was busy trying to please everybody. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and was scolded by Martha because she wasn't busy trying to do everything. Do you think Mary, if Jesus would have told her to go do something, would have done it? She was waiting to act on what she was told. Martha was out trying to do things that didn't need to be done. It was more important for her to sit and wait and follow instructions than just to be busy about doing what she was doing. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to point out. Jesus was trying to bring her to the place where she could sit and wait for instructions. Saul, instead of waiting for instructions, before this, he offered her, maybe it was just after this, he offered a sacrifice because he got tired of waiting on Samuel. And he was rejected by the Lord for doing that. Instead of just sitting and waiting, he had to run ahead and go ahead and do it his own way. That's wrong. And it causes problems. It is outside of the will of God to do that. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave Himself for it. Right here, we have given been given the instructions of how things are to be in the home. And it is a picture of how Christ relates to the church. Christ is the head of the church. And the church is as the wife. The church listens and waits for Christ's instructions. She doesn't run ahead. She doesn't do what she's not supposed to be doing. She follows what the Lord says. The husband Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. How did Christ love the church? The Bible says that as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Does it say as many as I love, I pamper? Does it say as many as I love, I just make sure she's happy? Is that what it says? That's what we're told, that the husbands are supposed to just make sure their wife is happy. But that's not the way Christ loves the church. Our happiness does not depend on Christ just setting out to make us happy. The world says God wants everyone to be happy. And so people pursue happiness. And they seek after it with all their heart. And when they seek after happiness, and when if you make happiness your goal, you'll never find it. You'll never find it. If you seek to make yourself happy, you'll always come up short. Every time. If you seek to find joy and peace, it'll never be what you want it to be. If you seek to find your life, Jesus said you'll lose it. That principle goes all the way through anything that you pursue. The way to find something is to lose it. And as long as you're trying to hold on to it or hang on to it or trying to pursue after a certain thing, you'll never find it. It'll always just be right out of your grasp. The husband is the head of the wife. And the husband is to love the wife like Christ loved the church. He gives instructions. And he expects them to be followed. That's how he loves the church. He gives the church what it needs. And sometimes he gives us things like we just sang about. What we talked about. Sometimes He gives us trouble. Sometimes He gives us poverty and want. He gives us what we need. Comfort is our enemy in this place. We talked to some men again last night. There was a big party going on in the square. They had music. And people were coming up and saying, well, what's wrong? Everybody's here. You know, we're just having a good time. We're not really doing anything wrong. Why would God not want us to have a good time? And I asked them, if you were in Iraq in the middle of a war, and you found yourself right in the middle of Iraq, and the only way that you were going to get out of there alive is to get out of there and escape. Your only hope of survival is to find your way out of that place as quickly as you could. Would you stop and have a party? Would you stop and have a good time for a while? Would you stop and just try to make yourself as comfortable as you can? Or would you try to get out of there as quickly as you can? This world is a dangerous place. It's more dangerous than Iraq. It's more dangerous than Afghanistan. Because this world is after your soul. This world wants you to be comfortable in it. Relax. Take your time. Take it easy. It's all right. Have fun. That's all this life's about. Just make sure you're happy. That's not what Christ is about to His people. He's looking out for His people, what is absolutely best for them, not what makes them happy. And that's what you need to be doing as husbands, is looking out for what is best for your wife, whether she likes it or not. Whether you think it will make her happy or not. If you love her, that's the way you're going to be doing. That's the way a husband loves her wife. He does what's best. He makes the decisions that need to be made in the home for what is best, whether it makes the wife happy or not. The goal in this life is not to come out with a happy wife. But if the husband does what he's supposed to do and the wife yields herself to what she's supposed to do, she will be happy. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. He gave Himself. He sacrificed His own life for the body. Husbands, you sacrifice your own life to make sure that what is best is carried out in your home. And it may cost you everything to do that. It may cost you everything to love your wife the way you're supposed to. It may cost you everything to love her. It may cost some discomfort in the home. She may just get so tired of it that she leaves. But when you start compromising and you start trying to make her comfortable, there's no end to it. You know, you've heard the little idea that if it takes a hot dog to get someone into church, it'll take a hot dog to keep them coming to church. That's not the way it is in reality. If it takes a hot dog to keep them in church, pretty soon you'll have to be buying a hamburger for them. And after that, you'll have to be buying a steak dinner for them. And then they still won't be happy. because you didn't cook it right. And that's exactly the way it is in the home. If you have to start pampering your wife to keep her happy, or pampering your children to keep them in line, pretty soon you'll be spending all of your time just trying to keep everybody happy. And you'll never do it. If you want to be the head of your home, you want to love your wife like Christ loved the church, you set a straight example for them, and you teach them and you show them what they're supposed to be doing. Don't try to give them the best like Saul did. Don't try to save that little part like Saul did and reject true obedience. Wives, I cannot stress to you enough. I don't know how to tell you enough how you hold the key to your children. Your father, the husband, can lead just as straight as an arrow and do everything just the way he's supposed to do. And you, with one little choice or one little word, can tear down everything and destroy your own children. Just in little remarks about maybe how your husband don't make all the right decisions all the time. You, by your actions, can say, I'm wiser than Samuel. I'm wiser than God. I'm just going to do it this way. This is a lot better way. I can save the good part here. Well, that's good. Why waste all of that? He don't know what he's talking about. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. How many of you have been working on spells lately that you're going to put on somebody? Or spells that you're going to try to cure something with? How many of you are out sacrificing things in the middle of the night, in the middle of a pentagram, and drinking blood? How many of you are looking for something to kill, to offer, so you can get spiritual power? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And it's just as dangerous. When you step out of your place, it's just as dangerous. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could make you understand how important your role is in your children to how you submit to your husbands. And how you trust and just follow and give him your support. He may make mistakes, but you let God take care of where He makes a wrong decision. And don't you try to step in and play God. And that's what you're doing. whenever you don't trust Him or you try to undermine what He's doing. Husbands, you do what you need to do. You put your pants on and make your own decisions to what you see best for your home and your family. Not what is going to bring the most peace. Christ was rejected by His own people. Christ could have tried to comfort them. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. Wonder why He didn't just try to make it a little better. Wonder why He didn't just try to smooth things over just a little bit to where it'd all work and His people would receive Him and they'd love Him and everything would be happy. He didn't because He knew that if He did that, He wouldn't love them. It wouldn't be love. One thing, whenever the rich young ruler came up to Jesus and Jesus told him the way to be perfect, the way to eternal life, that man went away sorrowful. And then it says, and Jesus loved him. After the man went away sorrowful, it said Jesus loved him. We would say love would go running after, no, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I'll fix it. That's not what the Bible says, and that's not what Jesus did. He loved him, and He let him walk away because He loved him. He knew that in this earth, there's only one way of escape. God doesn't have a plan B for your salvation. God doesn't have a plan B to keep the best, to sort it out our own. God has one way, and He loves us enough to show us that way, and He loves us enough to stand on that way and give us clear direction. And that's what the husband is called to do in his home. Not called to be mean or aggressive or argumentative about it. He's called to steadily walk and lead the way his family should go. Don't step out of your place and be where you shouldn't be in your home. If there's problems, you let the husband take care of it. That's his responsibility. It's not yours to fix everything. If he tells you or asks you to fix it or is responsible, you fix it. That seems so hard. That seems difficult. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And he also says, my yoke is easy and my burden light. If you're trying to carry a cross that he didn't lay on you, it will be impossible for you to carry. It will be impossible for you to carry. You'll struggle with it. You'll fight with it. But if you simply yield yourself to God's place, if you're trying to make everything perfect and everything happy and everything peaceful and everything comfortable, you're trying to carry a burden that you cannot carry. And it will destroy you. It'll destroy you. You'll get so weary and so tired of it can't do it anymore. That's probably one of the biggest dangers that people have. I don't think any of you are worried about falling into adultery or taking drugs or anything like that, are you? I don't think you're going to steal anything, are you? But you might try to carry something that you don't need to be carrying. And it'll break you down. It'll break you down. Jesus' yoke is easy and His burden's light. It's heavy enough just to carry that cross. And it's just what you need. And when you quit trying to be happy, quit trying to be everything you think everybody else thinks you ought to be, and you just simply carry your cross and do your part, you'll be amazed how much happiness you have, how much joy you have, and how much peace you have. Right in the middle of all the problems that are coming at you. Christ's yoke is easy and His burden's light. I want to read something. Got this letter this week. Dear Brother David, greetings in Christ. I honestly feel I needed to share to you what I'm going through. It's really hard when one's wife is not yielded to the husband in all things. It just does not do well for the whole family. If she does not totally give the leadership to her husband, it steals the peace and quiet in the home. It saps one of precious energy and inspiration, which otherwise could make everyone in the home happy and excited to move forward in or for the Lord. Indeed, blessed is the home whose wife, mother is yielded to daddy in all things. Whatever daddy says is believed and respected and followed. Even if, for a while, it may seem to be unwise or not so well thought out at the moment, the Holy Spirit Himself will reveal it to and correct him in due time. And things would still fall in its proper place in such situations. The children would also fall in line. Because they see that Mama falls in line behind Papa. And there is joy unspeakable in the home. But breach that principle and you will see that your children become just as stubborn and not paying attention to you. Alas, many women, wives, mix the wisdom of the world, translated foolishness, with the pure gospel truth, insofar as their role in the home is concerned, and or their calling in the kingdom of God. And therein is the problem. It's adulterated, perverted. It is no longer pure gospel truth with power to change. They argue their case tooth and nail, even saying, "What's wrong with this?" or "What's wrong with that?" or something like, "I don't believe you in that regard. I think I'm doing right here," or similar remarks. But is that what the Lord requires from them or expects from them? Never. God's instructions for them is very clear. But how come they still don't see it and put it into practice? How frustrating. This is the situation in our home, brother. I have told you it's really hard and frustrating. It hurts me so deeply. Oh, I wanted to cry. I wish my wife would just believe me in all things, not partly. I say what a difference that would make. I believe it's the key. I know that she's good in many ways and hard working, but like I said, is that what the Lord requires of her? What doth the Lord require, the prophet asked. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless a wife puts her trust in the Lord by obeying her husband in all things, she labors in vain. Oh, if she could just get that. Nevertheless, I like to believe there is still hope for my wife. Please help me in praying for her. Please pray for me too, to be more patient and to just continue acting in the Spirit, overcoming with evil with good and falsehood with truth. He's holding out a little hope for his wife. Was there much hope for Saul? His prayer that she would just see what she's doing. We each have a place. And the choice is ours. There's a big job for you husbands. There's a big job for you wives. But His yoke is easy. Mary would have jumped up and did anything Jesus said. But Martha was out scurrying around trying to fix things. And it won't work. I want to encourage you. Paul warned of Alexander the coppersmith that was causing a lot of trouble. And he said to avoid him. And I just want to very seriously. We have Alexander, the coppersmith, that's causing some trouble. And I just want to encourage you to avoid them. Jenny is causing a lot of trouble. Stirring up things that she shouldn't be stirring up. Out of her place in her home. We need to be real careful with our contact with them. Now I know it's a major thing to make a public rebuke like that in a statement. And I don't do it lightly. She's out of order. I talked to her husband. And he said the reason he left. I talked to her about her sowing discord and causing trouble. And he said, well, that's one of the reasons we left. Because we don't want to We don't want her to have to do that here. Well, she's still doing it. It didn't fix the problem. So I just want to encourage you. They need to be avoided. Not just for the weak's sake, but for theirs also. We're not helping by pampering them. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Well, I was just encouraging everyone to avoid the contact with this person that's so in discord, trying to pit each other against people and just wanting to avoid. We need to be careful. For their sake as well as ours. We're not helping them by pampering them, I think is what one of the last things I said.
The wife is the weaker vessel. He didn't say she's weak. weaker vessel for some reason. I guess for the order that we made.
Peter. But the weaker vessel may have also meant that she's susceptible to deception as much as anything. I mean, of course, she's not as physically strong either, but being a weaker vessel is talking about prayer there and spiritual things. And
it's like they give honor to the wife that's in the weaker vessel, but say that like that. Well, that same idea isn't that within the church you gave some this, some that, and how through the weak bestow more honor. In the way the church is set
up. Amen.
Going back to you were talking about home, but we've had different people live with us, you know, throughout time, and normally they come and they have problems with the children. And you encourage them, you need to discipline your children. If they will not listen to you, you need to spank them. You know, it's like you watch the husband go to work, and the wife wouldn't spank the children, and then the children would start disobeying. Before long, it's just chaos. I mean, the children won't listen to anything. Then the husband would come home, and the first thing they would have to do right when they walk in the door is spank the children. So the children just, you know, wouldn't listen at all. And then he would have to spank the children 5 or 6 times. Boom, 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 boom. And then the children would start obeying again. And then the next day, the husband would go to work, the wife would spank the children. And it was just like you would get so frustrated watching this because you would see the improvement in the children obeying. And then as soon as the husband would leave, the child would just stop obeying immediately. And the next day, the same cycle. And it got to the point where the husband just wanted to give up with any kind of discipline because it was making the child hated the father and loved the mother because the father was the one disciplining the child. It just ruined any kind of foundation that he was trying to build in the home whatsoever. And, you know, watching that, I think I talked to you and, you know, it doesn't, you know, we think that a woman is to submit and that takes a very weak will person. That's not true.
Amen.
For you to do something that goes against your will because another person told you that, it's a hard decision to make. It's hard to follow a decision from somebody that you don't agree with. And, you know, you don't have to agree with the decision. It's just your responsibility to follow it. I mean, you know, and I learned that. I guess I was kind of blessed from being in the army, and they made you do things that just were ignorant. It made no sense at all. But at the same time, you learn to take orders. You learn to follow directions. And they do this because you have to separate your emotions from orders. If somebody tells you to go into a hot combat zone, your emotions tell you not to do that. They just say, go in, fight. A human person, a human being, does not want to do these things. They want to turn around and run. So they make you do monotonous things throughout the day. So you just learn to do what you're told. And I'm not saying that a woman has to do that, but it takes a lot to just do what someone tells you to do or asks you to do without agreeing with that decision. But if you'll watch a home where the mother is real quick to spank, the children are the most behaved children as anybody's children has ever seen. If the mother is harder than the father, then the father doesn't have to be harder. It's just a miracle to watch a home where the mother spanks a lot. The children, hey, go clean your room. They're in there cleaning their room. Hey, stop that. Hey, stop it. But if the mother won't spank, the children are just unruly. It's just because the mothers with the children 10, 12 hours a day, the father's with the children 3 or 4 hours a day. So, I mean, the mother has to be the one who sets the standard in the home, so to speak. Not the father. The father comes home and then he's the bad He's the guy with the children that are in the room going, oh, I hope dad doesn't come home. I'm going to get when dad comes home. And you learn to fear your father. It shouldn't be that way. You should fear your mother more than your father.
Amen.
One little side note on that. In a home like that, there isn't actually a lot of sanctity to need in a home like that.
Amen.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, maybe when they're real small, but when they get older.
Yeah. Amen.
Is that why Paul took the home to explain the church? It's such a blessing to look at that picture of the head of the church. He went. He went and he left it to the church.
Amen. He gave us his words, gave us his spirit, he gave us other people. You're responsible for it. And it's just like the husband leaving the home. He's leaving you in charge of his home. You carry it out the way he wants to. That's one thing. I mean, it's a blessing when people. That's one thing I think. What he's trying to bring out when he's submit yourselves to those in your authority. Not that the one in authority is to abuse that or any way, but there is such a blessing to be on the lower end of that and just yield yourself to someone above you. It's not from the top down. It's from the bottom up. And that's one thing that, I mean, we go out on the street and everybody's a teacher. Like we brought out last week. The Bible says don't be many masters. It's a blessing when we finally just talk to someone and they just want to learn something. A lot of you young people, you young men, learn just to shut up and listen. You don't have to be the one saying something. Yield yourself. I mean, there's just a nice order of how things are supposed to be. And when we learn that kind of yieldedness to God, then He can give you something that you need to say. Whenever it's time to say it. We don't have to set the world on fire all by ourselves. It's just like we seek to do something. It's just like seeking peace. You won't find it. You seek to go do something on your own. You won't find it. You just yield to that place. And you do what's right in front of you. And you'll be amazed that you'll find what you laid down. Another issue, I guess, of that I meant to bring out that fits. And I'm going to get pretty close to some of you here. We're way too concerned about diets and what we eat. You're seeking to save your life. Jesus said to lose it. What we eat enters through the mouth and goes out the draught. And when we're so concerned about what's... We live in this world right here and we're going to die in it. Now, I haven't met a man that's 200 years old yet, let alone one that isn't going to die. And we just have a lot of... There's just too much concern about this diet or that diet. They're wives' tales. I read this on the computer about this. Look at this. Look at that. That knowledge is a stumbling block. and it's dangerous to us. We don't need that. We don't need it. Take no thought of what's set before you. Eat it. I eat a lot of things that I don't like. But it don't matter. Let's get our focus on higher things than these earthly things. Take no thought for what you eat or what you wear. Life is so much more than that. That's my encouragement to you and challenge. All right. I guess we'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening. Anyone else have anything? Good wife, his husband can safely trust in her to carry it out when he's not there. Praise the Lord. And that's not a mindless robot, like they say. That's not a mindless robot, like they say. Or just some stupid. That is someone that's got their will carrying out the master's will. And that takes strength and guts and courage. Amen. All right, anyone else? I think some men will want to meet with Drew or Andrew for a little bit. He's got some questions about what they're going to be doing this fall, so we want to just talk that over right after us. Or maybe some of the older men. All right. We'll just go down to the basement and just visit with them for a little bit right away. So, pardon? Okay. Let's have one song and then we'll be dismissed.
Amen.